Hi, my name's Anne. I've got five children. They are 9, 7, 5, 3, and 3 months. And all of my children were delivered by non-Indigenous midwives.
This is Anne, a Kamilaroi woman currently based in Sydney. As you just heard, Anne has five children, all delivered by a non-Indigenous midwife. The difference, however, was in baby number five.
I had an Indigenous midwife through my pregnancy care, but not for the delivery.
Anne's midwife was not present during the birth because it was out of business hours, but she still visited Anne the next morning.
While she's at work, she'll come down to the labour ward and be there with you, but babies don't come in business hours, so she wasn't there. She came in the morning, like as soon as she got to work, so that was nice to have her come and visit and check up and make sure I was okay.
She says it would have made a difference having an Indigenous midwife throughout her labour, but
I think by baby number five, you just get used to it. But yeah, I think it would have been nice to have her there, and I think I would have been a lot more comfortable.
Comfort was something noted by Anne a lot during our interview, something many non-Indigenous people may struggle to understand. During her prenatal visits, Anne praised the care of the Indigenous midwife, who was able to offer her something that was missing during her previous pregnancies.
Probably the comfort level. It was much more comfortable to have an Indigenous midwife.
Could you explain that a bit more? What do you mean by it was more comfortable?
I just felt more relaxed to talk to her and go to her with my problems, and I just felt like I had less to worry about seeing her.
But why is this feeling of comfort so important? What do Indigenous midwives do to promote this feeling? Joanne and Rachel are two educators from the Faculty of Health at the University of Technology, Sydney. They have both spent extensive time looking at the work of Indigenous midwives.
I'd like to, beginning this interview, acknowledge the Gadigal and Guringai people of the Eora Nation, on whose lands the university now stands. I'd like to acknowledge elders, both past and present, and to remember that the Indigenous people of this land have managed this country for us so beautifully, and we now get to enjoy it and to share in the way that they have cared for the land. I'm Joanne Gray. I'm the Associate Dean in the Faculty of Health.
And I'm Rachel Smith, course coordinator for the Bachelor of Primary Health Care. And I'd also like to acknowledge that both Joanne and I are not Aboriginal people, and we're not speaking on behalf of Aboriginal people. We're here today to share our experience.
To fully grasp the importance of comfort, we need to look at just how bad the rates of maternal and child mortality are in Australia's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population. Rachel Smith again.
Shamefully, it is very different to the non-Aboriginal mortality rate. We know that about 50% more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander babies die before birth or within the first 28 days of life. We also know that Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander mothers are nearly three times more likely to die in childbirth.
As mentioned earlier, the reasons behind these high death rates are varied. Joanne Gray explains.
There are so many factors. If we knew it was just one simple factor, you could probably fix it easily, but it's complex. So a lot of the disparity just goes back for many years, if not back to colonisation, essentially. But when we think about it in the more immediate term, it's about having they themselves as babies, so the women themselves, how were they mothered and cared for? What sort of health outcomes did they have? So they're likely probably to be exposed to more disease, to more hardship, not to go to school. You know, it's prenatal, so many, many multiple layers of disadvantage, and then leading in then to trying to carry a healthy pregnancy and to birth in a healthy environment. And it's not for a lack of desire. These women, you know, do their utmost best to have their healthiest babies, and their community is so supportive of women and children and babies. But the level of disadvantage and poverty works against these women.
So how can Indigenous midwives help bridge the gap? Rachel Smith again.
We know that a trusting, respectful relationship makes a big difference for all women. So women who can have a trusting and respectful relationship with their caregiver, their outcomes in terms of their birth outcomes improve. And it's the same for Aboriginal women. So if you have a trusting, respectful partnership, what better way to get that than to have someone who has some understanding or much more understanding of your situation or your culture?
This was a key theme identified by Anne as well. She felt comfortable with someone who had a thorough understanding of Australia's complicated history with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
I think the Indigenous midwife was just more, she understood life and the problems we have, and I think that's the biggest difference with the Indigenous midwife. I think a lot of non-Indigenous midwives don't know about background and things that just happen in life, whereas the other midwives more, the Indigenous midwives seem more down to earth, and she knows much more about the problems we face, and I think that makes you a lot more comfortable in opening up and talking to her and taking advice from her.
For health services that have an Indigenous midwife, it is more likely that pregnant Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women will seek out their help. Leona McGrath is a senior advisor for the New South Wales Aboriginal Nursing and Midwifery Strategy and an Indigenous midwife.
In particular, if you've got an Aboriginal midwife in a service and these women will start presenting a lot earlier, you know, there's that connection. They can be that connection between, you know, the health service and that woman, like the mediator, the translator, the link between the two worlds, if I could put it like that.
Leona also acknowledges that the connection between an Indigenous person and an Indigenous midwife is difficult to put into words.
Aboriginal people will walk down the street, and even if you don't know them, you know, we say hello to each other. It's a black thing. It is, and it's like you can't explain that connection between Aboriginal people. We have that. It's like saying that we're connected to our country. You can't you just can't explain it. That's what I'm trying to say.
The need for Indigenous midwives is even more important for remote and regional areas in Australia. To access care, women will often have to relocate to an unfamiliar area and wait to have their baby. Rachel Smith again.
We also know in Australia, because of the geographical effect or influences, we have women who have to leave their communities when they're around 36 weeks pregnant. They are flown out to a strange city, leave their families behind. They take nobody with them. They have no fund. They have limited funds for accommodation. They might be staying in a hostel, and they wait to have their babies in a strange environment where they feel very isolated from their family, and they don't know anyone around. Can you imagine that would be accepted for any other woman in Australia? If you took a woman out of Alexandria or Erskineville and flew her to Dubbo, where she had to wait for 4 weeks to have her baby, would that be accepted? Yet across Australia, that is a really common situation for a lot of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women.
And that's if they present to a health service at all, says Leona McGrath.
You know, the difference between remote and urban communities, I think it's the same for everybody, as there's limited access to services. But, you know, it's quite sad, because we do have that strong connection to country, that these women have to actually move off country. But that's when I was reading some literature reviews about these women, I suppose, in the Northern Territory and far north Queensland and Western Australia, where they just won't present. You know, they just won't present because they don't want to go off country, and they'll show up to the local hospital when they're in labour, they're just about to give birth.
On a more positive note, there are programs helping to address these problems. Rachel Smith again.
There are some programs across Australia in the remote area where they are trying to address some of the disparities around making women feel safe and making them feel able to access the system. And they have a midwife and an Aboriginal health worker who work together in partnership to look after the woman. So they're essentially, you could say that the midwife is providing midwifery care and support, and the Aboriginal health worker is the cultural guide or the cultural broker, they sometimes call them.
Closer to home, part of Leona's job involves supporting Aboriginal midwives through their study by providing scholarships. In one case, this involved providing internet for a woman studying in Alice Springs.
So we actually got one of our scholarship recipients to write just a little write up about, you know, how the scholarship would help her. And she was from the Northern Territory, and she said that where she was actually located in Alice Springs, she wasn't able to get internet access. So the small scholarship that we gave her, she was able to get her internet access for the rest of her studies, which was fantastic.
Currently, Australia has 223 Indigenous midwives. The country needs over 1,000 more to reach birth rate parity. As Rachel says, it's not just about having medical care. It's about having culturally safe care.
Aboriginal women who have Aboriginal midwives look after them, they are able to access culturally safe care, which is equally as important as medically safe care or midwifery safe care for women having babies.